Okay. The people that we hired in that first year that were new, Jeff Lear's his own story, definitely. There are a lot of these other people, the Dauenhauers, Nora and Dick. Catherine Peter, a superb speaker of Gwich'in, who was literate in the old Daco writing system, and who learned virtually in a day or so how to learn to read and write in a modern system, became a very productive writer and teacher of the language. Eliza Jones, native speaker of Kayukan from Koyukuk, and superbly talented in her own language, who undertook the, from the beginning, among other things, the re-edition, or rather the development of the Jeté manuscript dictionary into a full-fledged, magnificent dictionary of Kayukan, and who, I don't know if she ever finished elementary school, maybe not. The point is that these people didn't have the credentials. They merely had the superb, unique skills for which you know, you don't get a PhD, namely being fluent in Kayukan and having a life-size interest in writing a dictionary of your own language. That kind of thing you can't get out of any PhD degree mill. You can only get out of uniquely Alaskan situations and God-given good fortune. So Eliza Jones, Catherine Peter, people like that, and then Irene Reed became sort of, and always had been anyway, my, you might say, first and major supporter in this whole thing. She had not only the skills and the work and the devotion to Central Yupik, but to the whole field and to the enterprise as such. And she became rapidly the, you know, mother hen. I never was much of a mother hen either, but saw to people's needs and provided housing for people and so on, for example, and all kinds of support. So she was our, made ALC a warm and hospitable and supportive place. All of this, by the way, started to take shape in my one office. Granted, it's about four times the size of my present office, but it was more crowded because I had about 10 people working there that first year. It was only in the second year that we moved into a, what became a slum that was condemned by the university fire department, our physical housing. That was our second home, but that first year was very exciting. That first year also we had, it was the year that Walter Sobolev was on campus as the first director of Native programs, and it was a good old friend already that we knew from Tlingit work in the past, late 60s, and whose wife, Genevieve Sobolev, native speaker of Haida, was there. And that year we also worked on the Haida orthography, and it was, those were exciting times with Genevieve Sobolev, and Jeff Lear was starting to work with the Tlingit and working also at Sheldon Jackson and at Mount Edgecombe and at UAA. He became sort of a for the first couple of years, a Southern Alaska representative, and then joined us and has been with us ever since in Fairbanks. Irene, the people that she, her whole coterie of people that she supported and worked with her on Central Yupik, the most important of which in the over the long haul for ANLC has been for sure Steve Jacobson, who is married to Anna Jacobson, a Yupik herself, from back then, and who has proven over the year to be our most productive grammar and dictionary writer. And he has made the whole field of Yupik his life career. First, of course, Central Yupik, which he started with in the late 60s when Irene discovered him and put him to work for her Yupik project as a lexicographer, and branching out thence also to Siberian Yupik on St. Lawrence Island, and most recently and heroically for the past several years, selflessly as the editor of the Naukan Yupik Dictionary, the Yupik language, which is in fact the stepping stone halfway between Siberian Yupik and the Central Alaskan Yupik. No speakers in Alaska until very recently. They were all in Russia, and this was part of the Russian project that I had started on recording with Egret, and that hadn't really gotten around to, but that's sort of, in a sense, the climax of my Yupik. Yupik work. I'm working with a minority of a minority. Again, I have to wrap this up.
We are back on track.
Yeah, about a lot of this stuff. Steve Jacobson has been around ever since then too, and he can give you a real good complementary view of this whole picture. Larry Kaplan, I should mention, was hired in early 70s, thereabouts, to work with Inupiaq. And most importantly, in 1974 or thereabouts, James Naunap left to finish his degree in theology in Iowa, and he was replaced by Edna McLean, who did a spectacular job and continues to do all kinds of spectacular jobs with her language and in her community. But for 1973 or thereabouts to about 1987, for about 14 years, we had the inestimable privilege of having Eliza Jones working with us. I mean, Edna McLean working with us as well, not only teaching the Yupik, in Yupik, like Steve was teaching the Yupik, but also and writing dictionary of the Yupik, in Yupik, her barrel in Yupik, and also grammars for first year and second year as well. She was extremely productive. Ideal example of what I call native intellect and values working ideally together with academic values. Enabling them to transcend cultural bounds of being strictly, dead white Europeans, men, but in fact very live Alaskan Inupiaq woman, who did a ideal job for us too. And it was sad when we lost her, sad when we lost Eliza, sad when we lost Irene, and sad when we lost Kathy, but in some ways, a new generation started up. I'm not going to start evaluating that now, but partly as a result of my retirement, enabling finally cannibalizing that in order to get some fresh people in here. But some of them are second generation, like Catherine Peter's daughter, Kathy Sikorsky, is a mainstay now of our program, the part that's on the second floor, and or the, what's called the third floor. And Eliza Jones's daughter at times has been with us too, and is so that we're in some ways in our second generation. So there's some nice things about it, in spite of the misfortunes, as I see it, that we've suffered in recent years. We've had our good times, and I hope that there may still be some more good times. This sort of winds up at least with the establishment, although not didn't go very far into the accomplishments of the Alaska Native Language Center. And at the same time, I have not yet taken up EAC, which is should remain, I think, as a separate subject of its own. And it's the one Alaskan language that I've become the most intimate with, you might say. And now it's kind of ironic that although that was the language that was and still is, I guess, the one that's statistically the most likely to be first become extinct at this ironic rate. The last speaker of that language now in her 80s is phoning me rather frequently out of concern for my health. And so it's a question of whether EAC, not at all surprising that EAC outlasts me, the rate things are going. Right. And so all the interruptions to this conversation and the fact that I'll be away for the next couple of, or several weeks, who knows how many, trying to stave off the Grim Reaper. But I'm glad that to have this chance to go at least this far with it, and hope that a chance to get back and continue with it.
Thank you.
There still remains to be done the subsequent history of ANLC and the EAC, and what else out of. Russian side parts with Igor, including the Naukan as well as the Central Siberian Yupik camp.
Okay.